4 to 12. That's pre-K to 6th grade. That's time for you to go to Children's Church. Ready? Break. Y'all walk it. Walk it, walk it, walk it. They're doing good. Y'all are doing a good job training them. Look at how they walk. I didn't see anybody crawl. You know, that's a good sign. Raising them right. We're continuing on in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And why don't we start off saying the Lord's Prayer together? Just say it to the best of your ability. We may have it on the bulletin behind us. We may not. Recall it from your mind. Read it from your scripture. Read it from the board. Or just fake it saying, you know, I love watermelons, I love watermelons, I love watermelons. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father God, as we continue to look at the prayer our Lord Jesus gave us as a model, a prayer that walks us through the greatness of who you are, it walks us through the great needs of our lives, and then celebrates triumphantly that all the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours for eternity. Help us, Father, to learn how to model our life and our prayer after the words you gave us. We are so often trying to find our own way, but Lord, you gave us the way. In fact, you are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. No one comes to God but by Christ, and it's the same in prayer. You are the way to heaven, even when our way is praying. So, Father, help us to conform to your word, to appreciate how fully you've given us in prayer an example, the sufficiency of your example. Lord, we love you, and we give you all the credit, all the glory, in Jesus' name, amen. We're looking at the last, second-to-last phrase, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Some translations say, and deliver us from the evil one. In both of these cases, deliver us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We're asking God to do something in our lives that is a little humiliating. It takes some honesty and some humility to admit that you don't know what's right for yourself all the time. It takes some humility to raise your hands up and surrender and say, God, I believe you know best for me, and I need you to lead me, and I need you to deliver me from the mess I've gotten into because I can't get out on my own. That's what this aspect of the prayer is. Up until now, we've been looking at, give us this day our daily bread, the first great request in this prayer for daily needs. You know, and we ask God just to give us our needs daily. I remember being in Brazil, and we went into this wood hut, dirt floors, a line attached to the power lines, like made out of hangers, metal hangers, attached to the power line. That's how they got a little bit of electricity into their little hut. And there was an elderly couple there, and as we spoke to them, and the translator was translating what we said, the translator translated back what they said and said, if you don't have any food, we don't want to listen. Because we're hungry. We're starving. First great need of people is to have that, you know, is that self-preservation. They need to be living. I need to be alive. And that's what we ask God for first, that provision. But the next that comes, realize that we need spiritual provision, that we need to be made right with God. And we ask God, forgive us. forgive us. Because we need to be forgiven because we've sinned. You know, right now I need forgiveness. Right now I need daily bread. Now we get to this last request, the last two requests. Lead us and deliver us. These are looking in the future. These have the glance of someone who's going to walk with God. Someone who's been spiritually awakened and now they're trying to walk with God, but they're honest. They're honest about their need for leadership. I tell you, I believe the great need of our hour, whether you're looking at the government, federal, or local, or state, whether you're looking at church leadership, whether you're looking at leadership in homes, you know the great need for our time is leadership. Real and bold leadership. Even on a personal basis. I don't know how many people I've run into who said, I wish I had somebody who would mentor me. I wish I had somebody who would stand in my life and model what a Christian man is supposed to be like. That I could follow them and watch them and learn from them and model that. Leadership from every level, individual all the way up to the government, all the way up to the world, is the need of our hour. Let me tell you in a real practical way, I believe Jesus can meet that need on every single level. That Jesus can meet the leadership problems that an individual has. You know, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. That's personal, individual leadership. And I believe on every level, community, local, family leadership, state leadership, federal and world leadership, Jesus can answer all those questions. The reason I say that is a very practical request. Very practical. Lead us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. But it requires us to be honest. It requires us to realize we don't have all the answers. It requires us to see ourselves as sheep and to see Christ as our shepherd. A lot of times we don't mind seeing Jesus as a shepherd as long as we don't have to be the sheep. Shepherd those people over there, Lord. You know, the goofy ones who can't get themselves out of their own, you know, they keep chasing their tail. They keep hitting their head against the same wall. For generations, they've been sick, impoverished. Help them. Shepherd them. For me, you know, I can do all right on my own. The truth is, you have no clue about how dangerous the problems that live inside you are and how dangerous the problems that surround you in this world are. But the shepherd knows. So if you have a problem recognizing yourself as a sheep, recognizing that you need direct leadership from the Lord Jesus, let's explore some of these issues that will easily derail us. The first, just evil or problems within. When Jesus teaches us to pray, lead us not into temptation. I believe the greatest temptation that he is speaking to is the temptation to be self-willed, self-controlled, and suffer from what I call self-sins. Sins of replacing God with you. The greatest temptation that faces mankind is to live a life as if God doesn't exist and that if you know everything that's good for yourself. But the honest person will look and say, I've got problems. I have issues. These are some of the issues, and this is in your bulletin where it says, lead us not into temptation. The greatest and gravest temptations besetting Christians today are the buffet, and I know something of buffets, the buffet of self-sins. One need look no further than one's own soul and motives to find their devastating effects. Listen to some of these self-sins. Self-pity. Self-indulgence. Self-deception. Self-righteousness. Selfishness. Self-loathing. Self-worship. Self-destruction. And it could just go on and on and on to where we are the biggest problem that we have when it comes into temptation and to sin. Lord, lead us not into temptation, when I hear that, is like saying, Lord, don't let me ruin what you're trying to do in my life. Don't let me get in the way of how you're trying to grow me. Don't let me throw another obstacle in. Don't let me decide that because life hasn't been good for Big John, so Big John needs to get drunk because it hurts to be sober. Because forget the world, because the world forgot me. Oh, Big John, is it so bad that you need to do these things, that you need to walk outside of where God has placed you to make yourself feel better, to comfort yourself? Self-indulgence. I deserve to get these things. Why do you deserve to get these things? Why do you deserve to indulge? Has anybody ever asked McDonald's, why do I deserve a break today? Can you tell me? What have I done to deserve a break today? What have I done to eat that 1,200 empty calories of fat and cholesterol? What have I done to deserve? Maybe I do deserve that kind of break today. You're right. But why? Why do we have the right to indulge ourselves just when we want to? I think I've told you all before that I didn't understand what the definition of discretionary money. We were going through a financial counseling, Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace University type thing, and they're going and it said something about discretionary money. I said, what's discretionary money? That's money you can just spend on anything you want. And I said, oh, I thought that was all the money. There was no section of money that I could just do with what I wanted. I was like, that's kind of all of it. You know, I want to have a house. I want to have a car. I want to have these things. And it all just seemed to follow wants. I want to be a good steward and tithe. But you know, there was no sense of, you know, don't indulge, put off later, you know, not, you know, being a slave to the instant gratification just because you can, you know, because you have the money to do that, or just, you know, to indulge yourself, to feel good about yourself. What about to deceive? You know, all this comes in self-deception, to deceive yourself. Oh, you know, there's some in here who are saying, all right, I'm in church, gritting my teeth, you know, I'm bearing it, grinning and bearing. Yeah, hi, glad to see you. All right, okay, it's almost over. Wish he would keep going. He's on a rabbit trail. Oh, it's getting longer by the moment. And you're sitting here thinking, I know what I want to do. I know what I need to get there. I can do it all myself. And let me tell you what that is. That's a huge self-deception. Whether you want to believe this or not, God knows you better than you know you. Y'all hear that? That's one of the principles that this whole prayer, lead us not into temptation. See, we're putting the leadership in the hands of God, and we're saying, God, you know how I'm tempted. Don't allow me to go that way. Forbid it, Lord, that I enter into that selfish world where I'm the center of the universe and everyone else is here to serve my plan. Forbid it, Lord. So what we're saying is God knows us better than we know us. Have you found that to be true about God? Or are you still trying to slide things past Him? It's amusing how we go through stuff like, I'm going to slide, you know, well, God won't know what I'm doing. When I go out here, you know, it's nighttime, it's dark, and there's all, we're partying, we're doing our thing. God doesn't know what we're doing. Really? Is that the kind of God you have? What kind of God would that be? You might as well go out, get you a piece of wood. There's a lot of it on the ground around here because we had a little stormy storm last night. Carve it into your favorite little shape, maybe a Hello Kitty shape or something like that, and put it on your mantle and start bowing down to it. It'd be the same thing. Except for you got a God in your imagination that doesn't see in the dark, that doesn't know when you've deceived yourself, that doesn't know the pitfalls that rest before you. That God is just as much as an idol and a false God as anything that man's ever carved in history. Just because you carry your idols in your brain of a weak God who doesn't know what you're up to and has veil over his eyes and doesn't know when you're deceiving yourself, that's no God at all. That's not the God of the Bible. That's phony. That's fake. Like, oh, well, God doesn't know. Well, no. If God doesn't know, he's not God. See, part of being God is that he knows. He knows everything. He sees everything.
That's why he's the most capable leader you can entrust your life to. Do y'all get what I'm saying? So often we put ourselves in positions where we follow a boss or we follow a politician, we follow somebody, we follow the memory of a daddy or somebody. Somebody's in our life where we're following them. Let me tell you, all of them are going to fall short. The best of them are going to fall short. But Jesus Christ will never fall short. God will never fall short. When you turn over the leadership of your life and you put your life into someone else's hands, make sure they don't have butterfingers, you know what I'm saying? Make sure they're able to carry the burden you're putting onto them. People will come to church and get upset and leave because the preacher will do something, maybe have a moral failure, maybe just be an idiot, or maybe be a jerk, or maybe not answer his phone enough, or whatever it is. And people will get up and leave that place. Why is it? It's because they've entrusted leadership into that man, and that man failed them. Well, I'm going to tell you, those men will fail you all the time. This man will fail you. All men will fail you. When it comes to the leadership of your life, don't trust it to another human being. Trust it to God. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have to obey the human leaders God's put in your life. Sure you do. But don't entrust your life to them so that when they disappoint you, you throw everything away. Oh, just can't believe what happened and I'm done with it. Don't do like that. Trust God with the leadership of your life. Here, to give you an idea of the self-sins, listen to what James says about how we fall into temptation. First, he gives a good motivation for letting God lead us out of temptation. In James chapter 1, starting in verse 12, it says this: "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." That ought to be some good motivation. That ought to be some good inspiration. Verse 13, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." Now listen very, very carefully. "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." Each one is drawn away by his own desires. When we ask God to lead us not into temptation, we are deliberately taking our hands ultimately off the wheel and asking God to lead us and submitting to his leadership. How foolish would it be to say, "God, I want you to lead," and then never follow him, never obey him, never seek his word, never listen for his voice, never see where he's working and follow him in it. How foolish it would be not to follow up this prayer with application. How foolish just to ask, "Lead us not into temptation," but then stay away from him. How foolish it is ever just to say something to God that you don't mean to follow up on. But I'm going to tell you this: God is trustworthy, and God knows you better than you know yourself, and he's willing and able to steer you clear of the many pitfalls that we bring onto ourselves. And I've got to believe this. I know this is true for me. I hurt me more than anybody else hurts me. Matter of fact, if anybody else treated me the way I often treat myself, I would have nothing to do with them. I'd stay away from them. I'd say, I'm not going to let you talk to me that way. I'm not going to let you treat me that way. But so often, that's the way I do myself. No one's ever lied to me about how long I'd be on a diet, but I've lied to myself. "Man, I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to work out every day. I'm going to do it." And then I don't do it. No one's ever promised me more and failed me more than me. So why am I so convinced? Why would we be so convinced that we know best for ourselves? Why would we be afraid to get into the Word of God and ask the living God to lead us? He knows how to steer us clear of all those things. I'm going to tell you why I think part of it is because it is our desires. We haven't fully allowed those things to be crucified. The Bible says that they are crucified. Those who are in Christ in Galatians chapter 5 have crucified the flesh with its lusts. But we don't apply that in our lives, and we kind of try to resurrect those lusts and those desires and those passions, those feel goods and those comforts and the stuff that feeds the self. You know, in Romans chapter 3, it says, make no provision for the flesh. Make no provision for the flesh. And he's talking about that self-life. He's not talking about the food you eat. He's not saying to starve to death. He's saying, don't feed the selfish nature. Don't feed the sin nature. Without the leadership of Jesus Christ, you will always feed the selfish nature. Without the direct leadership of the Good Shepherd, you will fall victim to you. And you won't be walking with Him because you'll be wrapped up with you. That's the danger from within. We got to be honest about the danger from within. Just because you're a Christian and you made a profession of faith doesn't mean that everything on the inside of you is aiming toward God and wanting to please Christ. There's still wrapped up in you the principles of a sinful life. And they are hungry. They are aggressive and assertive and looking for a place to lash out. Like when you're alone and there's nothing else to do and you have no responsibility. What do you do? Where does your heart go? Where does your mind go? What happens with you? That's the flesh. You want to see it? Usually you could see it right then. Most of the time when people get their free time and their alone time, they don't use it to pursue God. Discretionary time is like discretionary money. It's the time that you can do with what you want. Usually at that time, we make provision for our flesh in whatever way we need to, whatever way comforts us. Keep track of those things because that's where the fight is. That's where we need the Lord Jesus to direct us through like a good shepherd. Not only though, there's not only dangers within, there's also dangers without. This is one of the things that the church and maybe our society is kind of schizophrenic about. We sometimes think there's real evil in the world. After 9/11, there was real evil in the world. And we weren't afraid as a nation to call evil, evil. And now, you know, I don't like 72 hours later and ever since, you know, evil has disappeared again. And, you know, we don't know why we rationalize why people will go and burn down embassies and murder and enrage, you know, and destroy people. And why they say, well, we rationalize. It was because of this. It wasn't evil. There's a lot of other things. We get that. In our culture now, there's been a schizophrenic change. There used to be evil, but now there's not, again. Sometimes in the church, I think we get that way. We kind of hop and skip through life like, you know, there are no dangers and there's no pitfalls, like there's no enemy. We flirt with sin. We flirt with things that can hurt us, thinking that we can be safe and that we're safe and nothing will happen to us. When I look at this line in this prayer, deliver us from evil, what I picture is a shepherd among his sheep. And they're grazing. They're grazing by the still water. They lay down in the grassy field. It's kind of like Psalm 23. They're there. But then the shepherd who's vigilant looks out and he sees the wolves gathering on a ridge. None of the sheep can see it. They're not aware of it. But all of a sudden, all they know is the shepherd is agitated. And he starts saying, come on, sheep. He starts gathering them in. He starts closing ranks. He gets the dogs out. He gets his sling out. You know, and they don't know anything. They just need to be looking at the shepherd. They can't see that far away. They don't see the wolves gathering up on the hill who are looking for a meal. But the shepherd sees them. The shepherd sees them. I wonder, are you positive that you know all the dangers that are lurking in this world ready to eat your lunch? Are you sure you can name them all? Do you know where they are? Do you know where the hidden pitfalls are to where that you could go without His deliverance, where you can go without His protection against the evil that so easily ensnares us? You know, it says that in Hebrews 11, in the Hebrews 12 rather, it says the sin that so easily ensnares you, entangles you up. It's easy. It's easy that we get trapped and tangled in sin. So why would we ever presume to go through this world without praying for God's protection for us and our family, without heeding His protection? If He says it's bad over yonder, let's believe that it's bad over yonder. You know, I don't have to get drunk to minister to drunks. I don't have to become violent to understand the violent. It's bad over there. I can stay on solid ground and say, brother, come up here. Let me stay where it's solid. Let me stay where the shepherd says. The other picture I had in my mind, and it's kind of weird, gruesome. Anyways, it's one of those, you know, the red dots of a sniper, you know, or you know, I watched a movie and this guy was running from the law and they caught up with him and they surrounded him and there was red dots all over and they said, freeze, and he froze, man. There's these, you know, he knew what those red dots were, guns aimed at him, man, ready to end his life. And I'm sitting there thinking, what about the one on the back of your head? You don't know about that one, but your shepherd knows. See, we walk through this life as if, again, we understand everything, especially us grown folks. You know, we got the kids' church up there, and we think, oh, we should teach this lesson for the kids. You know, I bet you the kids get this pretty good. They depend on a lot of people to protect them. You know, when you're a kid, remember back how soundly you slept when your parents were at home. I had a mom and a stepdad living there. And when my stepdad was at home, because he was like a biker dude and he was a construction worker guy and had, you know, big muscles, mean, slept with a gun next to his bed, I didn't always agree with him. I didn't always like him. But when I went to go to sleep as a boy in a suburb of Detroit, I slept good when my stepdad was there, because I knew he was mean and he had a gun and he would use it. I thought sometimes he'd use it to beat me up with, but I knew he would protect our home. Kids get this lesson pretty good. Who's watching your back, Daddy? Who's watching your back, Mama? Come on, you big now. Who's watching your back? You think you're just supposed to go without? You think you're supposed to just depend on yourself? Let me tell you the truth. You're supposed to depend on a Father in heaven who loves you and who is willing to have your back. That's who we depend on. Now, you can be in shape and have all the guns you want next to your bed. You don't know what's coming. He knows. He's the one you can trust. You might say, but man, some people get into a bad jam. Some people have tragic things happen. They do, and I'm going to tell you something about our shepherd. What kind of evil can he deliver us from? What kind of evil can he deliver us from? Let me tell you, he can deliver us from all kinds of evil. And just to take one case in point, I want to talk to you about the evil of death. Because death is sure enough an evil that is looking and is personified as evil if you read the Bible. It's not personified as a good thing. It wasn't originally attempted to be there. In the Garden of Eden, we had this forever life thing going on until sin and death entered the world. Matter of fact, sin is almost always accompanied. It's sin and death. Or in the book of Revelation, it's Hades and death, or death and Hades. We see these things together. Matter of fact, death is referred to as an enemy, an external enemy to mankind. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that that enemy will be made a footstool under the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ at the end. Amen. So, what kind of evil can he deliver us from? The worst of all kinds. The God who promises eternal life can deliver you from mortality. He can deliver you from the jaws of death. Even if they take a chunk, man, even if you succumb, even if you go across that river, even if you close your eyes in this world, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll open your eyes in the next, because He knows how to deliver even from death. So if he can defeat the greatest of all external enemies, which is death, who can he not beat? If we'll but walk with him. If we'll stay under his leadership. If we'll stay with him. If we'll allow his rod and his staff to comfort us. This part of the prayer is very much like Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Let me tell you about the external enemy that often is, we hear about this enemy when we hear about death, and that's the evil one. For those who have a one that says, deliver us from the evil one. Listen to this. Therefore, this is 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God as your deliverer, I might add, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now listen to this. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory, that's eternal glory, has to do with life after death, by the way. It's a forever thing. It's eternal. By Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect and establish and strengthen and settle you. God knows how to beat death. God knows how to beat the devil. God knows how to beat self-deception. God knows how to beat those the evils that surround us in this world, of which right now taxes is the head on my list, but anyways, we'll get to that later. He knows how to beat them too. He's just got to get me the secret, and then we'll go from there. But the point is, God knows how to whoop all the enemies that would attack us from the outside. God knows better the challenges you face than you know yourself. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's like that first principle that said, God knows you better than you know you. Well, he knows the challenges you face better than you know the challenges you face. And if you would be wise and honest, you'll give your life to him and say, Lord, lead me. Lord, deliver me. Because I'm not sufficient in myself to do those things. This prayer, this part of the Lord's Prayer, is for those who recognize they need God day by day. Those who recognize that they are never going to be as good a leader as God is. For all of you who are going to try to lead your life better than what God can lead your life, remember this, you're always welcome back. That's something about God's leadership. He's so gracious. He doesn't let doubters, he doesn't let those who are hostile, those who don't believe, that he doesn't let them stop his leadership. He doesn't hold them back. If you ever want to come to God, if you come to a point when you recognize you need to yield your life to God because you've made a mess of what your life is, and you're ready to turn it over to him, he's ready to receive you back. Do you know that? Oh, Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we get to this aspect of the prayer, we do recognize, I recognize, I'm at such a deficit for leadership. The things that ail me have been with me for so long, and I know from the people I've talked to that it's that way with them. And we need you to free us of these things. We need you to help us navigate through the minefield of self-sins. Lord, we know that there's things that are out there that we don't know, that only you know, that you see the wolves gathered on the ridge on the horizon that we don't see. You know about the crosshairs on the back of our head that we don't see. We know you know where that roaring lion is. We know that you know how to beat death, and we don't know how. Father God, help us. Help us to have a moment of honesty and clarity where we say, I surrender all to Christ, the great shepherd king of my soul. Help our prayer life to take on that quality of a desperate need for leadership. That we'd stop banging our head against the wall. We would stop being so self-willed as if we just try harder again, we'll break that wall down that we've beat our head against. Help us, Lord, to stop the insanity and embrace your leadership for our life today and tomorrow and the next day. Father, just to go and say, you, Lord, you're the one who knows. Help us not to rely on our own plans of deliverance and our own skills for leadership. If there be any here, Lord, that need you right now, that need to turn their life over to you right now, Father, would you do that business with them? Just keep your eyes closed and your head is bowed. If you're here and if you're wrestling with who's leader in your life, who's the boss, who's the director, who's the Lord in your life, would you raise your hand up so I can pray for you? We're being respectful. I was looking around. Just let me pray for you. Amen. Amen. Just saying, I need to let God lead. And you're struggling. You're fighting. Let Him win. Amen. Let Him win. You can trust Him. He knows how to win. Amen. Father, you know the hearts of every soul. You know what's going on. Again, better than we know ourselves. So, Father, would you win? I don't know what that means in everybody's life, except to say that the result will be like Thomas, them saying to Jesus Christ, my Lord and my God, lead me, deliver me, because I can't do it myself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the ushers if they'd come forward to take the morning offering. And as they're doing that, let me just remind you, you can contact, if you ever need to talk to a pastor, contact me and I'll find a pastor you can talk to somewhere. Or I'll just talk to you myself. I was just seeing if y'all were listening. And we're open for that. But this is the key leadership in life. You know, for the Christian person who says, I know God provides for me, I know God has forgiven me, the next issue is God leading me? Am I trusting God to deliver me? If that's where you are, that's a mighty struggle. Continue to struggle. Don't give up. Wrestle with it. Yield yourself moment by moment if you need to. But if you need help, call me. Pray for us. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you that we have this opportunity to worship you through tithes and offerings. It truly is worship, Father. Help those who are cynical of church offerings, Lord, to evaluate their heart and to ask who provided this, where did it come from, and what do they invest their money in anyways, and if it's better than the kingdom and the gospel. So, Father, just drive that home. And, Lord, again, we depend on you in all things. And we love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.